This is the Red Shirt Geeks podcast, which makes its home at redshirtgeeks.com.
And so it begins.
Files accessed. Transfer of data complete.
Commencing.
Ladies, gentlemen, and people watching this on our GeoCities page.
Really?
By my dial-up modem, we are the Red Shirt Geeks.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Shooting the proton torpedoes and, like, make us go that way.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Very bad feeling.
Shut up, Wesley!
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hide behind the mound. Dead bar.
Make it so.
Red Shirt Geeks!
I'm Laz D, the pseudo-Kiwi.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
And I'm Sweet Prude Zeus Alex.
I'm Dave the Destructor.
Oh no, it's Dave the Destructor. Choose the form of the Destructor and you shut up here. Oh my god, he's in the form of a red-headed bearded asshole.
You chose.
I didn't choose anything. Did you choose anything?
I didn't choose anything.
Choose wisely.
I think we were drinking a little too much to choose wisely there. So, as you can tell, folks, we are a little bit warm today, so this is going to be an extra fun podcast. Hopefully nobody dies. But if they do, we will post the video so it can go viral. Wow.
In this episode, we're going to talk about our favorite topic. Okay, not really our favorite topic, but we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to our hearts, at least for half of us who actually have experience with old tech. We're talking old technology and how we could have done what we do today without it.
Because half of us are getting really, really old fast for some reason.
Yeah, and the other half of us are Dave and Alex.
We feed off your old feeble ways.
That's what it is. You're sucking our life
force
out.
Sucking the life out of
like, that's why you have me come over every 2 weeks. It's not to film your show.
You're tech vampires. Tech vampires. At least you don't sparkle. Amen.
Amen. So,
well, maybe under a certain light.
So definitely what we're talking about this week, in this episode, we are going into the likes of old technology from when we first got onto the internet, when we first got into doing whatever it is we do, the advancements from where we came 30 years ago to where we are now, especially for me in filmmaking, completely different world now. We're just going to talk about that. So, let's start off with Patrick, we'll start with Patrick, we'll go to Alex, and then Dave, and back to myself.
Alex and Dave will be really short, of course, but oh well.
Well, no, sorry, Alex is really short, and I'm pretty sure he's sensitive about it.
We'll make fun of him anyway.
I actually think that we might have a more unique look on it. I think we actually might have a more unique look on this than you guys think. Because, I mean, you guys, were... I don't want to say old, but yeah, you guys are old. So you guys were old enough when we actually started getting the internet and when things started really changing the way that they are. Alex and I kind of grew up with it. So I think we can share with you what it was like for us as kids.
In the old days, I remember when there were only 3 channels and you had to get up and turn a knob on the TV.
I remember.
And half my TVs were black and white.
Like I remember having like 20 channels going to New Zealand and still having only 3 channels and still having to get up and change the channel.
Once I step back in time
20 years.
Yeah, that was actually in 2005 in New Zealand. Just as
excuse me, it was 1998. All right,
back in my day.
Back in my day.
You kids like popsicles?
I think we've just crossed the line as the smuttiest episode of Richard Geeks now. And Dave, you're fired.
Besides the XM. But oh well.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
So Patrick, tell us, I see you got a wonderful piece of tech there for show and tell.
This is holding in my hand, and maybe I'll get motivated enough to take a picture of this equipment for the podcast post. I'm holding in my hands an old realistic Electret condenser microphone. Little stereo thing here. Flips up the microphone. It's going to go flippity-flop all over the side. I think I've had this approximately 25 years, and I don't even know where I got it.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's kind of like the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu Grip, man. I mean, that's pretty awesome action.
Yeah, and with it, I've got my old realistic cassette recorder deck with just a simple cassette deck. I could actually, if I was really motivated, I could take, with adapters, which I've already got on here, plug it into this and actually still record if I could find a functioning cassette tape. This was the actual tech I used after cassette.
Now this is not visual, so we're going to need you to describe what you're actually looking at.
That's like one of those old CDs, right?
Yeah, it's like a rectangular.
Of CDs.
It's a rectangular reel to reel CD.
It's like a tape deck.
Wow.
Yeah, on my wall, if you guys who can see this, I have maybe 300.
So the three of us.
Cassettes.
Yeah. I have the entire audience of three.
Yeah. You guys on camera can see that I've got roughly 300 CDs. But before
for all
we
of
had
our
CDs,
listeners out there, for all of our listeners out there that we're not able to see, it was a depressing sight. So we shall spare you the description.
Yeah.
Of a that sad.
I have that much crap stacked up.
That's your bedroom
format.
Mostly, but
it's just a real long game of there's CD the Jenga, man.
There's the depressing part. Nothing happening there.
No. Years. Turn the camera back to yourself. That's the depressing part. There we go.
You got a point.
That's the depressing part.
Womp.
But on this cassette and before that, we had a little boombox that we recorded on. Back in high school, Lars and I were recording stuff. Some really messed up stuff. And if any of those tapes survived, we would probably have put them on the internet just for the laugh.
No, I'm pretty sure that if we'd done that, we would be in jail right now. Because some of the things we talked about, kind of, national security stuff, Oh, wait, sorry.
Some real highbrow stuff?
Wait a minute. Oh, sorry, wrong. Never mind.
This was tied into Star Trek role-playing game stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, we had Green Andorians, that's right. Yeah. That's okay.
I won't even get into the doorknob story.
No.
Bad.
Yeah, we'll share that with the rest of the team afterwards. But anyways, we primarily did our first sort of, I guess before, they weren't called podcasts because there were no iPods. So at that point, it was sort of just us messing around with a cassette tape and a microphone and seeing what we could do character-wise.
Yeah, and that was probably the beginning of my recording. Obviously, we jumped 15, 20 years later, I discover the fun of Audacity, and we're off to the races recording podcasts.
So if the doctor is out there listening, you need to go back to that exact moment and stop this.
Yes, you do. In fact, I'll go one further and say you need to go back to July of say around October, November of 73. And stop me from being conceived, because I generally regard myself as a bad idea. I notice how at least half the people are nodding in agreement.
That just got dark.
Damn
really
it,
quick.
Like,
I'm thinking we bring up Time Lords in relation to the mention of the Star Trek stuff we were doing in high school.
No,
stop that. Bad stuff.
Bad, very bad.
Terrible.
Bad,
wrong.
Bad. It's bad, it's wrong, it's badong.
Yeah.
So tell us, Alex, what was your experience with quote-unquote, air quotes, old tech?
IBM ThinkPad.
Yeah. ThinkPad. Is it the one that still had the red nipple?
You know it, sir.
And the compass stock?
That's right.
And the thing would tell time? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Was it a Red Rider?
Yeah. It told me my future as well. It was, a Magic 8-Ball as well. It really could do anything. That thing was magical.
I thought it was a Magic 8-Ball until I started shaking it and it stopped working.
Yeah, I threw it against the wall. I was just like, that, that didn't bounce back like I thought it would.
Oh, that was actually an Etch-a-Sketch, if you really want to know.
Well, you think about it, Alex,
That was the Microsoft Paint program before we had a computer, was the Etch-a-Sketch.
I mean, like, my era...
Actually, it was paper.
I never had to live in the era where it's like, oh, I need to know something. Well, I better go look it up in the Encyclopedia Britannica. I didn't live in that era. I just got to ask Jeeves, and he told me.
Yeah, so. I remember the Encyclopedia Britannica. My goodness,
man. You guys are like, seriously, you're still children. They're still children, Alex. They're still children.
I remember going to college before the internet.
Yeah. Before. Back when we still had to type our applications to get in school. Type them.
Again, that was just 2005 in New Zealand.
What are you talking about? That's 2014 in New Zealand.
They don't have internet.
I don't know nothing about them third world countries.
Where does this our internet?
I hear there's not a whole lot of internets out there in that Kiwi land now.
No, you got to go to California, but they only got a little bit of internet.
California
way.
Please tell me somebody's going to go reboot the giant Linksys router.
Yeah, we go to Colorado and reboot the giant router. That's probably something your guys' generation do. What about you, Dave? I mean, seriously, you were talking about before we started spinning
seriously,
up.
Seriously, you say?
Seriously.
Surely you can about, be serious.
You and Alex grew up when the internet was starting, had a foothold in technology, whereas when Patrick and I started, we were using computers before the internet was in consumer infancy.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective, and I think it's, you know, I look at my daughter now, who's two, for all of you listeners who don't know, and it amazes me how I'll look at her play with a like a smartphone, you know, and she knows to swipe her finger to make things change, and she knows how to click on things. And, you know, it amazes me, and it kind of puts things in perspective as, you know, maybe what I was like as a kid or what her kids are going to look like. And I think for myself and Alex, who are the same age, we just like, you know, my daughter kind of growing up with the touchscreen stuff, we grew up with computers and video games in that sense, you know. I remember when I was very young, I honestly don't remember the exact age. Playing Atari, you know. So I mean, I was born and young right around the beginning and the good start of video games and the, you know, when all of this techno stuff really started changing, you know. So I think that kind of provides us with a unique perspective on how that, you know, kind of affects our lives, you know.
Back with your MySpace and your navigation of the AOL chat rooms.
Hey, don't knock the AOL chat rooms. I got my start in the AOL chat rooms. That was my first email address was an AOL email address.
I had an email before the internet. When it was just college computers. When they were just launching things.
Yeah, I mean,
you work at a Unix email system.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
mind you, I work for a company now that still uses that same process, much the same technology. It's okay, Alex. You don't need to get excited. Yes, we all know you work for the same company.
Mm-hmm.
We still use the same email technology that was prevalent 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, not like it's changed that much.
No, it's definitely not. So, you know, for me, I guess the technology has been, you know, I've always tried to embrace technology. I worked in IT since 1997 when I got my first job in sort of technical support. And I've always tried to keep up with what was going on. But, you know, I still remember my first cell phone. My first personal cell phone was a Motorola flip phone, which, you know, this is before the age of phones that actually had text messaging. It wasn't quite the bag phone that you had in your car, but it was definitely the brick phone that you carried around, you know, and it cost me something like, I don't know, $3 a minute, you know, to make a call. It was just insane, you know, insane amount of money. I remember my first computer being a Commodore 64, which, you know, harking back to nostalgia, Patrick and I spent a lot of time playing video games on that computer.
Specifically, a game called Wasteland.
Yes.
Which actually you found on Steam and bumped me a copy of it. And we're now both playing a little bit in Wasteland, a game that's 25, 30 years old.
Nearly 30 years old. It was 1988 it came out.
I have a question for you, Lars.
Why are you still here?
I'm sorry. I've got to ask a question. I got to ask about that phone. That first phone that you had, what kind of phone was it?
It was definitely a Motorola phone.
It wasn't the brick, though, was it?
It was.
You know, the giant.
No, it was a flip phone, but it was.
I think I know the one you're talking about. Was it the one that
StarTAC?
Robin Williams. Was it the one that Robin Williams used in the movie Hook?
Yes.
That one.
About the size of a brick that had a flip down.
Yeah. Do you remember how much you said it was earlier? $3 a minute. How much was that back then?
What do you mean?
Like, how much did you pay to make a phone call?
That was a week's wages.
Yeah, you talking about? I would make maybe two phone calls a week.
I remember back in my day, a turkey sandwich was a nickel, and a hooker was two Turkish sandwiches.
The reason I'm asking is because, you know, literally, like, with that kind of rate back then, that literally was just a phone for emergencies. That's it. You wouldn't use it for, like, common, you know, just to call a friend and say, hey, now you've got parents that are giving their four-year-old kids iPhones saying, oh, it's just for emergencies. And it's just like, there's no way that's just for emergencies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's just
times have changed.
Yeah.
That's why, especially you look at early 90s, late 80s movies, you know, you see those phones. It was a status symbol at that point in time. You know, you were a big top shot, you know, like big, you know, business guy or mogul or whatever you want to call it. If you could afford to use one of those phones, you know, it was always somebody like Jerry Maguire or, you know, Robin Williams and Hook, some big business guy that was using those because
my dad had an old bag phone in the 80s. So,
yeah, I remember that. I still remember that.
Yeah, that bag phone came in handy, I think, a couple times. Once I basically was driving a dual wheel truck up I-75 and had the right rear wheels fall off.
Okay.
That was fun.
So did the phone change the tire for him?
Well, yeah, no, the phone called somebody to drive an hour to pick
the phone
me up.
Changed the tire for you.
Which app did he use?
I had rotary phones. It took me 8 hours just to call for a pizza.
I had to call uphill in the snow both ways.
No, it wasn't quite that bad, guys, but yeah, definitely.
If you were in a weak area, you'd have to climb to the top of a hill to get signal.
Yeah, that's true.
Hold it in the air.
You couldn't hold this in the air. You had to carry a bag and plug it into power. And
I still remember the time that I had to have my phone turned upside down sometimes to get signal. Not joking.
I still remember when walking around with your phone above your head, staring at the bars, trying to see when the signal would pop in was useful. Could you imagine walking down the street doing that now with an iPhone, just watching how people look at you?
I mean, I do that right already.
Now people complain when they're 10 stories underground in an elevator and they have no signal, and now they're complaining about that. Like, really? Really?
I'm just sort of the mindset that, you know, technology has come such a long way in such a short amount of time that I can't only imagine what it's going to be like in another 30 years, you know, when, you know, I'm probably in my 70s and, you know, I'll be afraid of everything, everything technology.
Nah.
We used to be with it, but what it was changed. Now what it is different and scary.
Well, now I've got to use things with my mind. I don't even. Back in my day, we had keyboards.
That's not even a joke.
And we talk into
the
mouse
future.
Like
that's
this
now.
And say, "Hello, computer."
Use the keyboard. Yep. I love the keyboard.
Yeah, that's not even a joke, man. That's now. Like, look at the Google glasses. That concept is terrifying to me. Like, I don't think I could even, you know, if I could afford that. What is it, $1,500 sum that they are? I don't think I would. Like, that seems way too much for me.
Well, it'd mean I'd have to carry lesson to the bathroom for personal time, but I overshared again, didn't I? Crap!
Yeah, you definitely overshared.
Oh, well. I'll just go back over there and listen to my turntable. I actually do have a turntable sitting over there that I bought and fully functioning. That's of course, right. It has USB hookup.
Look, that's right, Alex, Dave. Okay, there was a time when we wanted to listen to music, we had to get out these giant round vinyl pieces of circular discs that had music on them. Like, what? Like, how many did you fit on your iPod? No, Alex, stop! Stop, Alex!
Were those your DJ aspiration days?
They call me DJ Kiwi. I'm here to rock the house.
Would you like to see?
Man.
I've got my record collection. I got that a bunch of them. Sweet. Some of them actually don't suck.
Look,
no, I mean, on that freaks, topic, though. I mean, you want to talk about that? I still remember when I was a kid, you know, I joked on you about cassettes earlier, but I remember putting a cassette in my radio and waiting all frickin' day for the song that I wanted to come on just so I could record my track, you know?
Same. Been there, done that.
I remember that. And I used to get so mad when the DJ would talk over the beginning or the end of it.
Oh, man, I'd be pissed. Maybe you lose interest for just a second and it starts and you're just a little bit late getting to hit record.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Imagine like when we were teenagers trying to do a mixtape for a girl that we liked and having to do it all.
Imagine doing a mixtape for a girl that you like. Like, screw being their age. Yeah. Just imagine what that must be like.
Imagine what it would be like. Imagine just.
Hey, babe, I made you a playlist.
And you'll see what it was like to be my age now. Sorry.
And you'll see I'm depressed and the gun is facing towards my mouth now.
So roadry.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna go. I'll leave you guys to finish the show. Have a good one.
I'm gonna finish my bottle of scotch here and I'm gonna talk to you guys after scotchy scotch time.
scotch. Down in my belly.
Down into my belly.
Yeah. So good.
So I mean, we talk about in all seriousness, we talk about how far technology has come in the last 20 or 30 years. It's amazing to see the leaps that we've made even in the last 5 to 10 years. And for me, it really comes, I guess I'm very lucky to be in the age when consumer electronics have reached the point where filmmaking is a lot easier than it was back, say, when you started doing the stuff you were doing in high school, Dave. You know, when you're using stuff that still relied on tapes, you know, on the digital, you know, I imagine probably for you it would have been the DV tapes.
Yeah.
Might have had some editing stuff that you could do software-wise, maybe, but...
Yeah, no, there was a computer that I used that was in my... Because I took a, you know, a film class in high school. You know, I was actually lucky enough that they offered that. And... I don't remember the cameras we used. They were like JVCs, not quite what Marty had in Back to the Future, but you know, something smaller, a lot bigger than a Handycam now. But yeah, we had some program. I don't remember what it was. You know, running on the PCs in school, and it was such a big deal because none of us could even remotely afford to have that kind of stuff at home. You know, so it was huge being able to go into school and edit something. You know.
Yeah, still beats VHS.
I mean, again, the VHS had its time and place.
After Betamax.
Yeah, that's right. The Betamax is what you use, kids, when your VHS was broken.
Exactly.
But
when you wanted those special videos that you watched all alone.
And when you were too poor for Laserdisc.
I'm still too poor for Laserdisc.
That's because they're antiques now and they're worth
a lot of money. That's what it is. That's what it is. I gotcha. So, you know, I'm very pleased and very, you know, very relieved that now consumer electronics have gotten to the point where they've become cheap enough that I can buy the equipment that I need. And I mean, in just a few short years since I started being a filmmaker, I've amassed a much larger collection of equipment than I thought I would ever have, you know, and I have probably all up maybe $20,000 or so worth of equipment, including cameras and computers and software and accessories and lights and you name it. I could have never done that, you know, 10, 15 years ago. It would have been way, way out of my reach.
The cameras alone were in the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 range.
Yeah, and now the ones that are in that price range are things that you would only, you know, most people would only typically rent because of the cost.
Yeah, no, I think, Lars, you and I were talking the other day about that same thing, and just the ease of making a movie now. You know, that I could easily take my iPhone, just the phone that I carry in my pocket, and I could film an entire movie with it if I really wanted to, you know. Might not be the best quality, but the technology is there.
Well, also bear in mind, I mean, without that technology, our recent 48-hour film project film would have never been possible.
This is true.
Without an iPhone?
Without consumer quality, without professional grade equipment available at a consumer level.
I mean, if you look back at filmmakers' beginnings, I jump to Kevin Smith because he's probably, if there was one filmmaker I always look at, his first movie, Clerks, he had to rent film stock. He had to clear credit. He had to max out credit cards, sell comic books, and shoot it at night in the convenience store where he worked just to make the film. With what's available now, he could have done it in a fraction of the cost he did. He could have done it with an off-the-shelf camera and a few thousand dollars, and he'd been boom, film done.
And that was just in '94. Like, that really wasn't all necessarily that far back.
Right.
From the beginning of time.
Back when the world.
But that's but you remember, that's 20 years ago.
In a world where
you're 20 years ago.
In a world where dinosaurs roamed the earth.
What are you talking about? Are you calling us dinosaurs? Yes.
We are dinosaurs.
That's right. We're changing the name of the show to the Red Shirt Dinosaurs.
Where TVs
were round.
The red shirts actually wore red shirts and got shot while the captain got some.
What are we talking about? That's still a case.
Well, now they wear yellow shirts, and it's usually the first officer that gets some.
Good point. Good night, folks.
And for all the kids listening out there, he's talking about getting some ice cream.
Ice cream.
Galactic
emphasis on the latter.
I'd like some of that Orion slave ice cream.
Super good and minty.
Wow. I am not the official.
And that's all we have the time for this episode of the Red Shirt Geeks.
Because otherwise this is going to go way off the rails.
That's right. I'm Laz D, the pseudo Kiwi.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
And I'm Sweet Beard as Zeus Alex.
And I'm Dave the Destructor.
Be sure to check us out on our website at redshirtgeeks.com.
Check us out on Twitter at redshirtgeeks.
Check us out on Facebook by looking up Red Shirt Geeks.
Shocker. Commonality there, right?
Hey. I didn't think about that one. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can check out my show, The Doomed Away Team. And stay tuned for the Lonely Landing Party coming soon.
And that's we look under Red Shirt Geeks, right?
You can look under Red Shirt Geeks to find our channel. You can just search in your little search bar right there for Doomed Away Team if you're looking for us.
And that'll be under Red Shirt Geeks.
That's something here. Get right. Bugs.
Because we are the Red Shirt Geeks, where every expendable hero has a home.
Geeks Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Permissions beyond the scope of this license may be available at redshirtgeeks.com.